is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two starts now. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Aaron and Joel in the Gal Media studios with, of all, amongst others, Lance Zierlein. Barry Laminack from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Barry, you're going to love this. So Aaron mentioned when we were talking about the Rich Lorge story that he was texting with Lance to get information.
Mm-hmm.
I see Aaron making faces while you're talking towards the end of the segment. So I hit the talk button and I said, "Hey man, what's up? Everything all right?" He goes, "Yeah, yeah." He goes, "I'll tell you in the break." So we get to break and he goes, "So Lance responds, who is this, Jeff Belke?" And I'm like, "What? Are you kidding me?" And Jeff Belke's a great dude. Jeff Belke, who's written for Houston Press, and he started Clutch Fans along with Dave Harbesty. But I was like, "Are you kidding?" So all of a sudden I look in there and he's trying to like soft sell, and Aaron can tell exactly what he said, but I can see him trying to be like, you know, sweeping it under the rug, like, "Oh, you know, I was just, and I, you know, I was trying to delete." So I get on the speaker and I go, "Know your personnel, Zierlein. It's the first thing you do in the scouting combine. How do you not know your roster?" And he comes and he goes, "No, I was deleting like messages," and he popped. I was like, "Okay, well, you get someone to believe that."
That's embarrassing.
When I texted him back, said, "No, it's Aaron." I didn't give a last name, so he goes, "Oh, he thought it was Aaron Wilson the whole time."
Then he went to that. But first of all, but he incriminated himself because he first said, "Who is this Jeff Belke?" So I don't think that Aaron Wilson was first on his list.
Well, no, but I responded with, "No, this is Aaron." When he said, "Is this Belke?" I said, "No, this is Aaron." Then he I guessed wrong again.
That's solid.
That's outstanding.
Phone etiquette 101. New phone. Lost my contacts. Who's this? That would work.
Right. Yeah. Okay. "Hey, I don't have this number in my phone for whatever reason. Who is this? Sorry."
Right.
Yeah, that's I guess it looks bad. Did you have some place you wanted to go?
Well, yeah, I did want to run this by you because this just came out. So we had talked about the Astros engaging in all these different conversations for a starting pitcher, but Martin Maldonado was traded to the Cubs the other day, and the story came out this morning that before the Cubs acquired him, the Astros were knee-deep in conversations to bring him back to the team. And that was interesting to me, hearing that and then going and looking and realizing that Robinson Chirinos, who a lot of people thought was a sleeper pick for the All-Star game, is now hitting .216.
He's falling off a little bit.
Yeah, so you would think that, and Max Stassi isn't any better. So I would think that as they make these moves or think about contemplating making moves as they get closer to the deadline, it would look like, it, besides pitching, they're going to look at a backup catcher or another catcher.
Yeah, I don't think you ever planned on getting a ton of contribution from that position. Defensively, you hope that that's where they make their mark, and that's why I think they were kind of a little bit interested in the machete again, because Maldonado is definitely tops defensively, even though he really failed them in the playoffs last year. He was awful behind the plate in the playoffs. And but he's hitting like, was he hitting
Maldonado? Yeah, he's going to be right in that same ballpark as Chirinos.
So, I mean, really, if you're giving up assets to do that, what you're saying is it's nothing on Chirinos. That's still your starter, but you're just saying Max Stassi isn't getting it done. And I don't know. I feel like there's more pressing issues to address than a backup catcher, because that's really what you'd be doing.
I don't know if you saw it the other night.
If you could get him for nothing, great.
Here's the other thing. The other night, he's sitting behind A.J. Hinch in the dugout, and they do a close-up. And he sits there and does the inverted discount double-check. He grabs his waist and his belly with both hands and just squeezes and is like, yep.
Who?
Stassi. And I'm like, well, I guess he's taking full advantage of being on a major league roster and not playing a lot, but I was like, that's not a good look for your backup catcher either.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
So I don't know what they're going to do as the deadline is fast approaching. As you mentioned, it's not like getting out ahead of it that much now because moves are being made, but it'll be interesting if once they get back home and Jeff Luhnow has a better gauge on when he's going to get, you know, not only Correa and Diaz back, but he's going to get, you know, full reports on Peacock and what he wants to do with like a Colin McHugh, but he knows already how many of the young arms have just failed miserably, that he just gets his arms around it and goes, hey, let's get working on something to be real serious about it, because this 6-game homestand could tell a lot about, you know, what they're going to need and what they're going to do.
Yeah, it surprised me a little bit to hear the news of, you know, about Maldonado, but you wonder if they're just maybe having other discussions just to see, okay, look, we're obviously in the hunt for a big arm. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be out there. But you wonder if they're putting feelers out just to see, look, if we can't land an arm, if we have a bunch of small holes that we could fill, that's still going to make us a better team if we lose out and don't want to pay the price to get one of these other big arms. So that might be the thinking behind it too. Because I was just looking at Chirinos' numbers, and it's really, I mean, he's hitting he's doing what his career is. He's a career 230 hitter. Last year, he hit 18 home runs. He already has 12.
Mm-hmm.
The year before that, he had 38 RBIs. He's got 40 already. He had 65 last year.
But they got excited because he came out of the gates hot.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know,
but I mean, he's giving you what you expected he would.
He hits well at Minute Maid too, but they've been on the road a little bit now too. So you know, he's taking some dings there. But yeah, when you look at it, and you're right from the Maldonado perspective. Look, he failed in the playoffs last year, but on the positive side, if Luno's looking for a guy that knows the pitching staff felt comfortable with, really liked throwing to, and he really kind of settled down a lot of things with that pitching staff, with his knowledge of everybody and how he got to know everybody. Verlander was really comfortable with him and guys like that, that maybe they thought, hey, if we're going to do anything at all, let's bring a guy in that we don't have to retrain, because you know that there's some fragile personalities within that rotation. I mean, remember when Stubbs came up and and Ryan Pressly didn't like the fact that he was throwing seeds back at him after every pitch, and they had words that, you know, it's getting kind of late in the season to start breaking in a totally new catcher with that veteran staff.
Yeah, it's a really good point. Stubbs wasn't, I mean, defensively, I guess he was all right, but, you know, he hit 160, so what are you going to do? I know they got Jamie Ritchie at AAA as well, but, I mean, at this point, like you said, it's almost getting too late, and Jamie Ritchie was ranked behind Stubbs in the minors. So
Stubbs is young,
yeah.
But I saw somebody today that said that the Mets are looking for an arm, a leg, two arms and a leg for Noah Syndergaard. Yeah. And then one of the Mets fans that follows the team, I don't know if he's a beat writer or not, but suggested the Astros give up Tucker, Whitley, and Stubbs for Syndergaard and a first base prospect. Or a first baseman. I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. That's just way too much.
You wouldn't do that.
I don't care about Stubbs, and I really don't care about Tucker based on what I saw on the major league level. I'm not sure I'm ready to close the door on Whitley yet when he hasn't even been called up.
And this is for, that was for who again?
Syndergaard? And I think Davis. Not the former Astro, but a first baseman or some.
I would have done that trade in a heartbeat, but I think Syndergaard's off the table now, right?
No. The Mets are supposedly out there shopping him or saying that he's available, make an offer, but they're wanting, you know, a king's ransom if you're trying to get him. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out.
I know DeGrom is still being shopped.
God, I can't see them getting rid of him.
Jacob DeGrom?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but I couldn't see him getting rid of Syndergaard either with two more years of team control. He's arbitration eligible for two more years.
But, I mean, DeGrom's your
side. That's why I say.
In New York, in that media market, and you skip out on the Cy Young Award winner, I win that award on that bad of a team last year, I think it would cause quite a dust-up in the Big Apple if you did that.
I mean, but he's going to cost you 23 next year, and then 33, and then 33, and then he's got a player option for 30 through 2023. And he's 31 years old. So they might be like, yeah, we're trying to get younger and better. And Jacob DeGrom at 31 with 4 years left, though he's good and worth it. When you're rebuilding, you don't want to fade those types of contracts. And I think that's why they're like, yeah, if we're going to try to get better and rebuild, maybe we move some of this money and get younger.
But think about it, Barry, because Gerrit Cole just made himself even more money last night. And he's a free agent to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for him to throw 100 and some pitches with, you know, double-digit strikeouts again and the numbers he's putting up, people are going to throw silly dollars at it, including a team like the Angels, who in Los Angeles have a ton of money. They're, people, and you've mentioned this, when a lot of people didn't realize it, their attendance has been really good. They're looking to make a splash. He's from there. There's going to be teams that are going to throw crazy money at Gerrit Cole. If you're worried about losing him and you can get a guy like the caliber of a DeGrom and you can add him for, like you said, two or three more years and pair him with Verlander, it softens the blow if you do lose a Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. The Mets have some decisions to make with both of those guys, and I'm seeing Robbie Ray as a name that popped up now for the Astros.
Yep.
Remember Zach Greinke? Well, if Robbie Ray's on the trading blocks, then Greinke probably is too.
Greinke's so got the high price tag, but he's also got a no trade, and I believe the Astros are on the no trade.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I know that was the case with Mad Bum, but there's a lot of interesting names that are still popping up. It's gonna be fun. I think over the next, 13 days?
Yeah, something like that.
To see what goes down. I know we got to get to a break, but next segment, did you hear about who may be the latest owner of a franchise in the city of Houston?
Yeah, I saw that right before we went on the air, but I'm sure you need to inform the peeps.
About that.
Yeah,
yeah,
break
we'll do that
news for them too.
That was pretty interesting.
No doubt about it. Hey, you know what else is interesting? The fact that you can save a whole lot of money on your electricity bills month to month just by making the simple switch to Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff do a fantastic job, locally owned and operated here in Houston. I switched about 2.5-3 years ago and just re-upped with them because why wouldn't I? I saved thousands off of my bills with my previous energy provider, and they do it in such an easy-going, laid-back way of honesty, trust, and just 100% friendship-like relationships that they build with their customers, like they did with me. Check them out at infuseenergy.com or call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Right off the top, you mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit, and you go from there. They're going to ask you questions like when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, is it weekends, is it weekdays, is it business or for your family, and they will pinpoint the best deal that they can give you and the best rate possible. And in most cases, they'll beat any other rate out there. And because they're honest with you, in the rare cases when their rates cannot be as good as another company, they're going to tell you who it is and where they can go. Because they want you to realize whether you go with them now or you go later on down the road, you want to deal with a company that has your back. And that's exactly what Infuse Energy does. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. You got to check them out. Infuse Energy in your life.
You should see me in a crowd. I'm gonna run, there's nothing to hide.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go, rolling through the show, almost to the midway point. Barry in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Aaron and I in the studio. Nick in Vegas to get ready for the fight this weekend with Pacquiao and also help out the Blitz and all of our shows that are originating from Vegas this week. So good stuff there. Barry, you had some stuff you wanted to get to.
I did. News broke. Well, I saw it. I don't know exactly when it broke, but right before we got on the air, maybe 12 o'clock-ish, I saw a couple of rumblings on social media and then went and confirmed it. I actually got the confirmation on KHOU's website, so shout out to KHOU. Mm-hmm. James Harden joining the ownership group of the Dynamo and the Dash, along with Gabriel Brenner and Oscar De La Hoya, among others. Kind of interesting and surprising that you see an athlete in the midst of playing who was like, yeah, you know what, let's... Of all the Houston athletes, so if I told you, name a current athlete that you would think would invest in the Dynamo and Dash to become a part owner, who would you have picked? Would it have been Harden? And if not, who?
So here's the thing. Because I was too close to the situation, I can give you the insight that, and I've done this in the past, that not a lot of people know. James is a huge soccer fan. He and Clint Capela, Trevor Ariza, Jason Terry, guys, some of the guys you might not have thought. But I would have thought maybe a Nene.
Okay.
Maybe J.J. Watt because his fiancée plays for the Dash.
That was my pick.
Yeah.
That's who I would have thought would be an investor in something like that.
But think about this. It makes more sense when you kind of think big picture. James with his long-term, big-time relationship with Adidas. Adidas is obviously the number one brand for soccer worldwide. There's got to be a possible tie-in there.
True.
I don't know how much, you know, it says like investor slash owner, but this isn't like Aaron Rodgers investing in the Bucks and becoming a minority owner. I'm sure he didn't have to cough up that much to have some involvement with the two soccer teams, and he loves soccer.
The only problem with our pick, and I was while you were talking, I was looking at this, but I was trying to figure out what is the net worth of both players.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is worth more?
Harden, because of the shoe deal on top of the contract.
His net worth is $145 million, and while J.J. Watt has obviously made his money, and J.J. Watt's net worth, comparatively speaking, is a lot lower than that, $27.9 million.
That's it?
Yeah. Now, this is, how old is this? This is a couple years ago, so it might be up now.
Because he had the $100 million deal total, right?
Yeah, but that's total.
I get it.
This is...
And he's got the Reebok deal with a signature shoe, so though it's not Harden's deal, that's got to be fairly lucrative.
I mean, football players and shoe contracts aren't really that lucrative.
Let's not kid ourselves. Scott at HEB is throwing money hand over fist under the table at him.
Well, so this says that no other defensive player pulls in more than $2 million from endorsements. Watt pulls in $7 million. Those sponsorship partners include American Family Insurance, NRG, Reebok, Gatorade, HEB, Ford, and Verizon. So all that combined at the time this was printed was $7 million for him. And then his salaries, and this includes, this was at the time that he had the $100 million extension. So...
But the big thing
it might be updated now, but
the big thing is of those companies you mentioned, they're all local, and one of them happens to be more Wisconsin based in the advertising and American Family Insurance. Ford is a local deal, HEB is a local deal. Yeah, the Gatorade's national, but they don't do that much with just one signature athlete. It's always like a barrage of different athletes in every commercial. So he doesn't get the national love that he would playing in like a New York, LA. Chicago market, but at the same time, he's doing better than most. So that number seemed a little low for me.
Yeah, it surprised me. Here's one from 2018. It doesn't say. Damn it, where is it? Yeah, but the older one was way worse. So this is the article that I have is from 2015, but that's including all the deals that he's currently operating on, so can't be much different. But yeah, he would have sounded to me like logically a candidate just because of his wife or fiance playing on the Dash, and but it would surprise me either if you saw somebody, because baseball players get a ton of money just like basketball players do once they get into it, and Harden of all guys to go into ownership was weird for me.
I agree with that. I didn't see it coming per se. Like I said, I had to kind of just think about it a little deeper to think the Adidas connection. I do know he loves soccer. I also don't think, like I said, he had to invest a ton of money to be involved in this way. And he kind of likes that stature status thing of being able to say part owner of a franchise.
Yeah, I could see that.
So those would be the reasons why, I guess.
That shocked me a little bit, but
I'm with
interesting
you.
News. Interesting news, because he's not always going to be a Rocket, and I'm sure he's got ties here, but I could see him going back to California at some point after his basketball career, and maybe keeping a home here or something.
You know something I don't know? I think he finishes his career as a Rocket.
No, I'm saying after he retires.
Oh, okay.
I agree. I think he finishes his career here in Houston.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is when he's done, he's going to wrap it up, sell his home, move back to Cali. Right? I mean,
yeah.
I could see that.
I think I could see it too. Yeah, he and his mom both have a very strong affection for L.A. and for California. So I definitely think that could happen.
But he would still be a part owner maybe.
Well, that's if those teams survive that long. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, just the MLS in general, the Dynamo, for all their success, it's a it's a small venue, and from game to game, I would think that they should draw bigger than they do, and the Dash isn't drawn all that well. They got a great stadium and all that, but I just don't know longevity wise from a league perspective. They want all the Rooneys and all the big, you know, and the Beckhams and all the big names, but they don't have the money that international soccer does, and so with that, it's hard to get the same kind of following.
Yeah, but I think the thing you're missing is this is a big soccer town, and I think there's, you know, unlike hockey, this has never been a hockey town.
Sure.
But this is a soccer town for sure, and I think that gives them the opportunity to, you know, try to build. If you win, you know, I've been to Dynamo games. If they're winning, it's packed.
I have too, but that's the thing. I mean, on a consistent basis, it can't just be here and there, or if they get hot, you got to draw night in, night out. Like, I've seen the Portland Timbers, and they are like crazy nuts for that soccer team. And then literally, the only thing they don't rival in that town is the Blazers, and it's closer than you think. That's the kind of passion. When I think a soccer town, that's what I think. I know that people love soccer in this town. I just don't know that they love it enough to attend as regularly as they should for Dynamo games.
What do you think they draw on average?
Boy, on average?
Mm-hmm.
17?
15.
Okay.
I mean, that's not bad.
What's capacity in that stadium? 20-something?
22, I believe.
That's what I thought. It was around 22, 23.
I believe that's right. They averaged 16.9 last year.
Okay.
So I think it really just depends, and they started off on fire, and they've not done as well as of late. But this town has always had the feel of a soccer town, no matter what. But they've got to win. That's part of the problem, is you've got to win in order for any team in this town has to win in order to garner the kind of
that's one thing about Houston. I hate to say it, but it's true. But it's not that it's fair weather, but if you're winning, You can really get a fan base excited in a hurry, but when you're not, they can find other things to do in a hurry too.
Yeah, and when you look at it, they are 19th out of 24 teams in the MLS
for
attendance. But I mean, they're ahead of Dallas. They're ahead of several teams
But that's like saying
the Columbus Crew. I mean, there are teams that have been around a lot longer.
So we're the best of the worst. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
It sounds like, 19th out of 24 sucks, but you can say, yeah, you're ahead of those cities, but I'm just saying, for the longevity of a guy that's investing in them and the women's team, I'm just worried about if they keep up those numbers, how long will they be in existence here?
I don't see them, man. You could be right, but I don't know. I don't think that they would go anywhere. But you never know.
No, you don't. All right, and you're in Oklahoma, so I do want to get to starting the second half of the show. I do want to pick your brain a little bit on maybe the other side of the equation as you sit in quote unquote enemy territory to see the rest of the fallout from the Westbrook trade. Okay. And we've also got some people that possibly want to talk about James Harden. So we'll get to all that as we open up the second half of the show. So don't go anywhere. The second half is right around the corner. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, your number one sports taste station here in Houston, Texas, and spanning the globe from Tulsa to Denver.
Spanning the globe.
That would be the wide world of sports. Yes. The thrill of victory and the agony of the football. So with that, I was curious, with you going into across state lines into the Oklahoma region, any feedback on this whole Westbrook thing?
I chatted it up with some sports fans last night a little bit. They're in a bit of a funk. I think they trust Sam Presti a little bit, but they hated to see Westbrook and Paul George go. Mm-hmm. I think they felt like they could have been close if they could have added another name to replace Carmelo Anthony. But for the most part, no, I don't think they're happy. At least the few that I talked to, and I asked, I was like, "Well, you guys aren't excited about Chris Paul?" And they're like, "Ah, no, you know, he's old, he sucks." And I was like, "Well, yeah, he does, and he's cash strapped." And then I looked it up just to see, you know, how the trade talks were going, stalled out. Yep. So That's not looking like it's happening. Bobby Marks had a post on Twitter about why It stalled out, and it said 40% of the players are under contract, can't be traded. There are no teams with significant cap space. Remember, I was talking about this the other day. Nobody has any room left. But he said there's no teams with significant cap space. Atlanta has the most at $7 million. The biggest trade exception is Golden State with $17 million, who is hard capped. Next is Dallas with $11.8 million. So there's just nowhere for him to go.
But again, the
he
Miami
went to the one
deal,
spot he could go to.
The reason why the Miami deal stalled, though, because I told you, Dragic is in the last year of his deal at 20-some. So you got to get within 38. So there are ways that they could get within that 15% of Chris's 38 and make it work. But the other that I was reading another article that said one of the other snags in the whole deal is that Miami expects to have to – they want draft picks from Oklahoma City to take on the Paul contract, whereas Sam Presti wants draft picks like he's doing them a favor to give them Chris Paul, and that's where they've been haggling back and forth with each team thinking that they should be entitled to more instead of having to give up more. And so that's why they said he'll start the season on the roster. I'm going to tell you this right now, and I may be completely out of my mind on this, but I just really believe Chris Paul's going to have a big year next year. I think he's got all the external motivation he needs. He's turned vegan. He's made indications in the last 2 days that his workouts and the way he feels right now, that he's going to be, if not better than ever, he's going to be a lot better than people thought. And I'm interested to see it, but I got a feeling he's going to be pretty good next year.
See, I don't know. But I will say this. If that's true, If everything you said is accurate, that's really going to piss me off as a Rockets fan. Why couldn't you have done that, committed to being a vegan and getting in shape and playing better and doing all these things? What took you getting mad and getting traded to do that? You know, if you would have done that from the get-go, maybe your ass wouldn't have been traded.
Well, but again, man, that's kind of unfair because
two years
ago, he did everything and more. Their regular season was second to none in franchise history. And then he got hurt going into the final stretches of the Warriors series and they lose game seven. But for all intents and purposes, people thought, well, there's a team to be reckoned with again the following season. And then you can't put it all on his shoulders, the fact that right off the get-go, they lose key rotational players. They don't replace them with like players. That sets them back a little bit. And then Paul gets hurt along with Capella. So I don't want, as much as we all could see he's declined, I just don't want to put it all on Chris's shoulders because I think there were a lot of other variables that led to that season. And yet, with all that being said, James plays out of his mind, and they're a top four seed with home court advantage in the first round. So it wasn't that bad.
It really was, though. And if he's like, oh, I'm committed, I'm going to bounce back, and you're saying, oh, you know, he could have his best year ever.
Well, slow down now. I'm not going to say he could have his best year ever, but I think he's going to show that it hasn't quite dropped off the way people thought.
He had, outside of the previous year, his lowest assist numbers since his second year in the league. His lowest point total since 2010-2011.
But Barry, he missed at least a quarter of the season.
Okay, but so going vegan isn't going to help you there. I mean, dude, you can go vegan and work out and really commit in the offseason all you want, but if you're fragile, your ass is always going to be fragile. So
it remains to be seen.
Yeah, but to me, if that's the case, I don't know, as a fan, I would be pretty upset.
Well, but weigh that out. Okay, so
make those commitments.
I understand
it's just
what you're
like
saying.
With Harden. It's like with Harden, right? Well, we've seen James Harden in the past where, you know, he lost the MVP to Steph Curry. Yeah. So he comes back and he's focused because people made fun of his defense and they made that real, and he comes back and he's focused again, and then he hooks up with a Kardashian and falls off again, and then people are like, yo, it's the Kardashian curse. So he refocuses and comes back as an MVP. And Why not just focus the whole time? What is
well,
your, why
some guys
do you have
can't
to,
do that. I get that. But here's the thing.
Why you do you have to be publicly that, shamed into doing your job?
You say that, and I get that, that if Chris Paul does all the things, it would piss you off. But it won't piss you off as much if Russ steps up and is who he can, he's capable of being, too. Because if he comes in and he is 3 or 4 years younger than Chris Paul, and he just puts up triple-double-like numbers, but he and Harden can coexist, I don't think you'll have nearly the hard feelings.
No, I won't. I mean, I'm excited that, that Westbrook is here in place of Paul. Like I said, I think this makes them better at the position. Again, like you said, I tend to agree with you. Still got to wait and see. But there's no doubt. There's no doubt in saying that Russell Westbrook is a better point guard at than Chris Paul right now, at this moment. Not overall. I know Chris Paul's the point guard, and he'll go down as one of the greatest of all time. But right now, Russell Westbrook is better. So you've got better at the position, but is the chemistry going to be good and all that? So no, I'm not upset in that regard, and then you're out of that contract too.
Yeah.
But it still makes you think. Oh, it's still it's a bad look if you're like, oh well, now I'm gonna try. Oh, now
well,
you're gonna
think,
try.
I don't think he's saying that. He's saying, look, he's always tried, but he's gonna he's trying something different that he thinks are gonna have far better results with this combination of changing the diet, changing his workouts, doing things differently. And again, like you said, the external motivation, whether it's right or wrong, if it's working, that he uses all of that to and then the trade to fuel the fact that he's got a lot to prove to a lot of people, including himself, and maybe that, you know, leads him to having a big year, and then by the trade deadline someone really wants him at that point.
Okay. Well, good luck to him.
I know it. I mean,
I'm kind of
glad
he's not here, but good luck to
him.
But
here's the other thing to keep in mind. That final year of that Westbrook contract ain't going to be pretty either at $48
million. No. And when is that again?
That's in, I think, 3 years or 4 years. So
he'll be
33. Rockets fans just extended the agony in certain ways.
Yeah, but I'll take a younger Russ right now with a few years left than Chris where he was at with a few years left.
Yeah, because he'll still be knocking down jump shots. Never mind. Okay, so James, Mark's on the phone. He wants to talk a little bit about a James Harden deal. Mark, what's up?
What's up, Joel? What's up, Barry?
What's up, man?
Hey, so going back on that Dynamo Harden deal, whatever. So the club was valued like a little bit underneath $500 million, and he, I guess, got 5% of the Dash, Dynamo, and the stadium. So I guess he paid around 22 mil for his for his stadium.
I heard 5%. So I thought, but I heard 5% and 24 mil.
Yeah, so,
but that's
so somewhere around there, depending on what the real valuation is of all three. But you know, another thing about, you know, you were talking about the attendance and all that stuff. The thing is, like, the problem is the Dynamo and the owners, current owners, not investing in the first team as much as, you know, as should be. I mean, granted, our owner isn't a billionaire either, you know, so he's kind of strapped financially to do what he can, but we're the lowest payroll in MLS. And, you know, we're trying to, the front office is looking for diamonds in the rough, and they've done a great job at finding players that they can for the amount of money that they have. But it's just a struggle because, you know, MLS is evolving. It's growing quickly. You're bringing in star players, and I'm not just talking about the older players like Rooney and stuff like that, but you're bringing young, talented, up and coming, you know, players, and we're still kind of stuck in the old habits of the MLS and stuff like that. So we're, as a fan base, disappointed in the fact that, you know, we're not getting more investment in the first team. So that's the problem with the attendance. You know, the attendance starting to fall because when they were on the top, attendance, it was sold out. 22,000. When they were Robertson, they were doing 30,000. You know, so I mean, the fan base is here. It's there.
Oh, there's no doubt. But here's the thing. That goes back to what I was saying about Houston. When they're winning and they're on top, everybody's going to want to jump on board. When they're not, or they're just kind of middle of the pack, people are going to go, well, there's other things to do. Because I know that kids play soccer, and I know there's a passion for it, and Glenn Davis obviously can tell you that. But yeah, thanks for the call, Mark. I just think it'll be interesting. And from a Harden perspective, having part of the stadium as well helps when they get other events because they get other soccer events there. The U.S. women's team played there. They get TSU football. So at least it's an investment from that standpoint that can have some return on it.
True. Hey, when we get back, I saw a post online from the owner of the Hyenas Comedy Club. Andrew Dice Clay is going to be there, I think, this weekend. And so he had to go out and buy, you know, some comedians and celebrities, when they have appearances and stuff, they have riders where you have to meet certain things.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at a picture of what he had to go buy. So I'll share with you what Andrew Dice Clay demands be in his green room when he performs.
Can we compare
some of
it
might surprise you? Some Some of it won't. Yeah. My demands are just make sure the check don't bounce.
No spiders in the fridge, no eggs in the Diet Coke, and plenty of vents for the weed.
And a place to stay. And you know what? If I didn't get a place to stay, I could always go to besthotelrates.com and get that place to stay. They've partnered up with over 600,000 hotels nationwide, worldwide, I should say. And they did that so that they can get great rates, exclusive rates, and then they pass those rates and discounts on to you, the consumer. But you're not going to get those deals if you don't go to besthotelrates.com and check it out. Super easy to do. You just go to besthotelrates.com. You put in your destination. You put in the date you want to travel. It's that simple. It pops up. And these are places you're probably already going to stay. So why not book through besthotelrates.com? You get top-notch customer service. They back up your reservations. Your stay is safe and secure. So you have nothing to worry about but going on your trip and having a good time. It's besthotelrates.com. It's in the name, besthotelrates.com. Every time, yeah, when you're not around.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, wrapping up hour number two. Before we head into hour number three, it's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry in Tulsa. It's Aaron Rabel filling in for Nick Sciarra, who's in Vegas for the big fight this weekend, helping out the Blitz, who are also there. So I'm sure you'll hear something from Nick when the Blitz get on at 4.
Hey, speaking of that,
yeah,
there was a text in the text line that I found to be pretty interesting.
Okey-doke.
It says, I saw AJ at Ingenious Brewing in Kingwood yesterday. They had a 4 p.m. beer release. He was there about 3 hours or so. Did that selfish ass switch shows so he could go get beer? Ha ha ha.
So, Barry, here's the other thing. We were led to believe the entire time that we were doing Fred and AJ a favor so they could both catch their flight.
Uh-huh.
Then found out the day before, Fred's flight was the same as Nick's flight, and that was at 10 p.m. last night. And they didn't miss anything. So that's made you scratch your temple a little bit more. Then you add that tweet to the mix, and I start really wondering if Sergeant Selfish didn't just decide, I'm going to do what's best for me.
Lucy, you got some explaining to do. Like, what's going on here?
Truth always comes out in the wash, people.
Are we really, that's where we're at, is he's just making selfish decisions on his own that disrupt the flow of the entire business just to suit his needs?
Well, when you get to number one, you can take certain...
I'm screenshotting that text, and we'll...
Speaking of screenshotting, AJ did a little work himself on that just recently.
On what?
He got a hold of the press release from 610 about them claiming to be something that they're not, and he basically said to their new PD, evidently you don't check the ratings very often, or they don't
did
get
he really
to, yeah. So
where was this on Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta
right
go
Aaron,
see this.
Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can check
that was that to the, he sent that to the PD.
I don't he
no,
responded.
AJ,
oh no
AJ
no.
screenshot
yeah,
the
he
website
screenshotted it, I said yeah
where it says Clint or Sterner's quote was, I am born and raised in Houston, so football is in my DNA. Sports Radio 610 is the king of Houston sports radio.
Oops.
I don't even think they're the queen, but maybe.
Not in the last, 15 months?
Yeah. It's,
I digress.
They got heart, but I don't know how much.
Sergeant Selfish was outstanding, by the way. And Dustin and Sources confirms that was outstanding.
Thank you.
A couple more texts from the text line. Would either of you be against the Astros trading to land Bauer? It just, again, when it comes to any trade, it depends on what they give up. Mm-hmm. And you know that Bauer is most likely a rental. So that's always going to be my stance when it comes to most of these guys.
And that's the conversation that we had in the last couple of days, too. I mean, the fact that you don't want to give up as much for a rental. I don't want to give up as much for a rental. Nick was like, oh, I would still do it for a rental. I wouldn't. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't give up Tucker or Whitley unless I'm getting a guy under team control for a couple of years.
Well, so, I mean, I wouldn't give up Whitley necessarily. Tucker, I probably would, because I don't have as much faith in that kid. And somebody that texted us and was like, he only had 60 at bats. Well, he looked lost and scared. And yeah, I realize he's tearing up minor league pitching, but that's just exactly what it is minor league pitching. But it depends on who, and do you really feel like that's guaranteeing you a World Series? Because any rental that gets you a ring, I'm all for. So if you think Trevor Bauer is the difference between a World Series and not a World Series, I think you push all your chips in.
Well, and the other thing interesting, I don't know if you heard this or not, but on that, along those same lines, Corey Kluber threw a bullpen yesterday. So he's getting closer and closer to return. There's going to be a hot name too. If people just do the medicals and find out that he's going to be okay down the stretch, and you don't really need him till right before and right into the playoffs, there's a guy that could attract a lot of attention too, and he's under contract, I believe, for a couple more years. So then you're not dealing with the Trevor Bauer situation, and you're getting a pretty quality arm. And again, because from an Astros perspective, you're contemplating things that other teams don't have to, which is you have the perspective that you may be losing two more starters next year with Cole and Miley both hitting the market. So with that being said, getting some guy that has that kind of a track record that you can rely on no matter what. The contract is still, I hate to say that, but before the injury, you would say in the 20s for a guy of Kluber's status, you'd take that
17.
Too.
17.
There you go. I'd be all over it.
Yeah, I'd pay 17 for Corey Kluber in a heartbeat.
No
now,
question.
You've got two club options in 2020 and 2021. So obviously he's hurt this year. You exercise the club option. And if he stinks, if he's fallen off, if he doesn't come back from that injury, then, you know, you move on. Do you know what his market value is right now? His market value, according to SpotTrack, is $32 million. You're getting him for half of what he's produced from a market value and market perspective. That's you talk about value? That's insane. So if you're the Indians, you know that. So you're like, well, you know, this is a perfect situation. You get a guy for two more years at half of what he's worth, with the option and ability to not opt in if you didn't feel like he's back.
Right.
So that's a perfect storm for the Indians to say, yeah, if we're trading him, we want a king's ransom. We want everything. I mean, you know, you talked about two arms and a leg for Noah Syndergaard.
Yep.
It would be, we want, you know, five arms and five legs. It's just, that's the perfect storm for the Indians if they're looking to trade him.
I will say this, though. If you can say all that, and then you can be like the Astros when dealing with the Tigers on the Verlander deal and go, yeah, okay, but let's look at past precedents and what we had to give up for Justin Verlander. And instead of our top AAA prospects, we're willing to throw in a former number one pick in Daz Cameron and some other middle-level top prospects because of the fact that there still is some degree of uncertainty with his health. And Verlander didn't have those issues, and we didn't have to give up that much. So unless you get it from somewhere else, it goes back to what you said. The bigger issue is going to be how many teams are going to get involved in those discussions. And if those teams in the National League that are just, you know, a stone's throw, 5-6 games from the wild card, if they really want to get hyper-competitive and get into the discussions, that's going to screw everybody.
Yeah. A couple more texts from the text line. Somebody said, I'm loving the Deftones bump back music. Keep that coming.
Good job, Aaron.
Yeah. Somebody quoted me when I said that Chris Paul should focus all the time. They said, quote, focus all the time. Some people could say the same thing to you about your diet, Barry.
It's not nice.
I mean, just be funnier. That wasn't even good. That was just stupid. I feel like you put no effort into that lame ass texter. If you're going to shoot a shot at me, at least be funny. Or mean. That was neither. That was just kind of like,
See, now you open up that whole can of worms that you shouldn't have said. Funny, yes. Mean, no. We get enough mean unsolicited.
Either one's fine. Just be one of them. Don't just be lame. Don't just be like, meh. Like, that was awful.
Now, there's one ass clown from the 409 that's about one more text away today from getting called out with his full phone number.
So here's a question that we'll get to on the other side. All right.
All right.
But somebody wanted to know, because we were talking about catchers and, you know, Chirinos and Maldonado and Stassi and Stubbs and all that. And somebody was like, shouldn't catchers be a better hitter since they see over 100 pitches a game?
We can break that down. If you
Talk about that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so we got 2 hours in the books. We still got 1 hour to go to the show. Plenty more to get to. And, of course, if you want to join us, we are here for you. 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us up on Twitter. We'd love to have you be a part of the show. The final 60 minutes will be on the clock when we get back. It is the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. With these tears, come and kiss this pain away. I can't forget the day you left.
ESPN 97.5.